So once again, as you can see, Brzezinski is a hardcore imperial strategist. And the things that he helped strategize have helped lay out the foundation of the permanent war stage that humanity is in today. And he knows it. And he's proud of it. He just tactically has a different way and strategy of conquering the Eurasian landscape. But this is the real world of imperial politics. And who are the real players behind these administrators? Obama's Political Action Committee and Hope Fund raised money for 14 senatorial colleagues. 10 are DLC, politically aligned. That's that whole triangulator Democratic Party stuff that helps condition anyone with ideas that go outside of the boundaries of the imperial apparatus, of the state apparatus, like they did to that one woman. Barack voted yes on the final passage of the USA Patriot Improvement and Reauthorization Act, which is also part of the imperializing and the permanent war stratum domestically that this society is in. This is the reality that Obama is really all about. And to have illusions and play games like Jackson and Dyson are, is to play in an imperial landmine game where lives actually are destroyed. The questions of what good have these elected Negroes done in office? What good has you've had a black mayor in New Orleans and a white female governor of Louisiana? What good did that do black people of New Orleans? What good did them being Democrats do black people? What good did Dyson, Jackson, Sharpton, the Congressional Black Caucus do for the black people in New Orleans and for their fellow, and what good did they do in dealing with their Democratic partners in that region, like Mayor Nagin, as Nagin continues to bulldoze as many homes as he can in the Ninth Ward? This is the politics of illusion. It's a game that they want you in. They don't want you asking questions. One can easily argue that black people have gained more freedoms when we didn't have the vote than since we've had, quote unquote, the vote. The institution of chattel slavery was broken when we didn't have the vote. And many of the initial civil rights gains were accomplished prior to us having the vote. And a key component of all of that was that we independently organized abolitionist movement, underground railroad, and various other types of collectives and organizations. but they want you organized around them, an imperial apparatus, so that they can make a phone call to you like they did to Jesse Jackson and tell you to shut up and heal. This is the genocidal game that we find ourselves in. And it is a game. The issue of what Bush and them were doing concerning torture and things like that. Obama, who is a constitutional law professor, voted to close off any kind of filibuster to censor the president, just to even censor him. Obama said this: "My and Senator Feingold's view is not unanimous. Some constitutional scholars and lower court opinions support the president's argument that he had inherent authority to go outside the bounds of the law in monitoring the activities of suspected terrorists. The question is whether the president understood the law and knowingly flaunted it." Let me clarify. This is when Bush and them were doing all this spying. So here, basically, Obama was protecting Bush from what was clearly an illegal act, trying to word it that, well, maybe Bush didn't understand the law. But Bush understanding the law is not relevant in him breaking the law. You may not know a particular law, but if you break it, they'll come down on you. But see, this is when you're a huckster. But when you align yourself with grand chessboard imperial strategists like Brzezinski, who in January 23rd, 1980, wrote this passage of the Carter Doctrine for Carter to read. Quote, "Let our position be absolutely clear. An attempt by any outside force to gain control of the Persian Gulf region will be regarded as an assault on the vital interests of the United States of America, and such an assault will be repelled by any means necessary, including military force." There you have the imperial agenda. Of the imperial order that makes it clear to the world that death and destruction will come to anyone who tries to challenge what the empire claims as their domain. This is the camp Obama truly belongs to. To believe otherwise is to operate in an optical illusion. The projection that the U.S. empire is on is in a course and is on a course that can't be compromised with. From the Middle East to Africa to South America, people must organize and come head on against the empire. Because the projection that the empire is on is a similar projection that the native aboriginals faced. And there wasn't any politician or any popular vote that was going to change the course on the manifestation that the rulers and the masses were engaged in. hear Dyson say that a legit critique of Barack's presidency, we can do that, but let's see it get here first. He's basically saying, don't analyze the whole aspect of what this process means. He is just basically saying, be a part of the process. Be a part of this scam. And then let's see it get here and then go from there. So be complicit in it. He then states that what is suggested in the real world of politics is the alternative to Barack or even Hillary, is that this is the game we're in. This is the game that is being played. In other words, there's only one real legitimate game. You gotta vote if you want to be a real player. And for him, that's voting Democrat. This shows you how complicit these types of Negroes are. Because in essence, you have people like Dyson dancing around as Negro progressives, and Oprah as this kind of humanitarian, and Gloria Steinem as, you know, a lead feminist author, and, you know. But what does all that mean? What does it mean to be like Oprah, who's voting for Obama? What does it mean to be a humanitarian imperialist? What does it mean to be like Dyson, a Negro progressive imperialist, or Gloria Steinem, a white imperial feminist? What does it mean to be a white imperial feminist? What does it mean to be a black imperial feminist? What does it mean to be like Jesse Jackson, a non-violent imperialist? Jackson doesn't miss any opportunity when he comes down to California to stop in South Central LA to berate black males who are joining gangs like the Crips and Bloods, saying it is not the way, violence is not the way. Yet Jackson doesn't hesitate to advocate for one of the most violent institutions on the planet, the Democratic Party, which basically means that Jackson is a non-violent imperialist. What does that even mean? What does it mean when you have people so locked in their particular grouplets, saying that if you are eating meat, for instance, you are destroying the world? Yet many pull that lever for a Democrat or Republican. So you're a vegan imperialist? What does that mean? You don't eat the flesh of animals. Yet, as being a Democrat, you help devour the flesh of human beings worldwide, as you ride the lesser evil imperial flesh-eating crusade. Does one really think that the women of Iraq will feel any better by their children and their children's flesh being burned off its bones by white phosphorus, while Hillary is in the Imperial Administrative League, while the flesh falls off the bones of our sisters and brothers in the Congo, will that be any more gentle if it is being administered by the modified, mulattified Negro Barack as president? This is insanity. This is voting on the edge of insanity. The U.S. empire is on an imperial death march. The only difference that Hillary would represent is that Hillary would be on that death march in stiletto high heels. Barack will be on that death march with tap dance shoes on, while Boy George has his little cowboy boots on. Yet all of them have and will stomp on your mama's grave without a second thought. Quit voting on the edge of insanity. An article, January 8th, 2008, came out by Gloria Steinem called "Women Are Never the Front Runners." Some of it goes like this. The woman in question became a lawyer after some years as a community organizer. Married a corporate lawyer and is the mother of two little girls, age 9 and 6. Herself, the daughter of a white American mother and a black father. In this race-conscious country, she is considered black. She served as a state legislator for 8 years and became an inspirational voice for national unity. Be honest, you think this is the biography of someone who would be elected to the United States Senate? After less than one term there, do you believe she could be a viable candidate to head the most powerful nation on earth? If you answered no to either, you're not alone. Gender is probably the most restricting force in American life. Whether the question is who must be in the kitchen or who could be in the White House, this country is way down the list of countries electing women. And according to one study, it polarizes gender roles more than the average democracy. First off, what's fascinating is that all of these Democrats and Republicans have played a role in gumpifying and reducing down real analytical politics to the point that where it has become now. Anyone who is a Democrat and Republican has played a part of this process where it is more style over substance. But Gloria Steinem ignores all of this, and she just wants to get into this kind of genderizing types of politics, when at the end of the day, whether you are a female or a male, black, white, Asian, Latino, you are still serving the interest of a ruling order that is spreading death. These are just plantation folks banging on the house, a master begging to hold office and position to serve those interests. Gloria goes on. That's why the Iowa primary was following our historical pattern of making change. Black men were given the vote a half century before women of any race were allowed to mark a ballot, and generally have ascended to positions of power from the military to the boardroom before any women, with the possible exception of obedient family members in the latter. Let me stop right there again. You know, when black males got the vote, it was during the Reconstruction period. The white man giveth, the white man taketh away. In other words, the vote that was given by two black men temporarily, it wasn't an issue where the black men decided on your own that they were going to get the vote or who amongst them was going to get the vote. These were political decisions that were done outside of the control of black men and black people in general. And when the elites of the South formed terrorist organizations like the White Line and the White League that destroyed thousands, the vote was essentially crushed. The white man giveth, the white man taketh away. And also, there was a political reason for certain whites, at least in the North, wanting to have at least black males to have the vote. And that was because in certain areas in the South, black people were the majority. So by giving the vote to these black males, many white males were ascending to higher office and having access to office that they didn't have if they were running against fellow white politicals in the North who had, you know, established positions in the Senate, Congress, governorship, et cetera, et cetera. So in part, some of them were doing it for their own political benefit. But this is all ignored by Gloria. Continuing, Gloria says, if the lawyer described above had been just as charismatic, but named, say, Akoya Obama instead of Barack Obama, her goose would have been cooked long ago. Indeed, neither she nor Hillary Clinton could have used Mr. Obama's public style or Bill Clinton's either without being considered too emotional by Washington pundits. But Bill could still use the Southern strategist style when he Willie Horton Sister Soldier to get into office and Ricky Ray Rectored a brain-damaged black man to death. And those like Hillary have ascended to positions of authority in Congress, in Senate, at a higher level, or I mean at a larger level than black males based off of their whiteness and gender. But see, all of this to me in many ways is really smoke and mirrors, because it comes down to what are they really serving? Whose interest are they serving? See, this is just someone trying to get into the house on the plantation. And she doesn't analyze, does this serve the interest of humanity with a woman being an imperialist administrator of a ruling order any more than it does a modified Negro? Those questions are off the table. It's just how and who can serve and how this plays out within the body politics of America. She continues. So why is the sex barrier not taken as seriously as the racial one? The reasons are as pervasive as the air we breathe, because sexism is still confused with nature as racism once was, because anything that affects males is seen as more serious than anything that affects only the female half of the human race, because children are still raised mostly by women, to put it mildly, so men especially tend to feel that they are regressing to childhood when dealing with a more powerful woman, because racism stereotyped black men as more masculine, quote-unquote, for so long that some white men find their presence to be masculinity affirming, as long as there aren't too many of them, and because there is still no, quote-unquote, right way to be a woman in public power without being considered a you-know-what. Now, we know that black people are still heavily characterized in ways that have the bad genes, biological, cultural depravity concept. It seems like every other week you see some scientist or someone popping up saying, We are genetically inferior by our very nature. Gloria Steinem knows this. She's just playing games. And it's kind of sickening. It's kind of sickening to see her play this type of game out when she knows what's really at stake is not so much of who's serving, but what interest are you serving? But if you are a charlatan like her, Jackson, Dyson, and others, this is the type of game you intentionally play into. But she continues on. She says this. What worries me is that he is seen as unifying by his race while she is seen as divisive by her sex. Now, first of all, I don't know all about all of that, but we know that the way that Obama is seen unifying is how he plays the racial game, i.e. in a post-racial format. All of them, Hillary, Barack, are adhering to the dominant norms and constructs of the rulers. They all have advisors, from Albright to Brzezinski, that all pledge an allegiance to the domination of humankind. But this is all ignored by Gloria. This is what I mean by what does it mean to be an imperial feminist. She then continues, what worries me is that she is accused of playing the gender card when citing the old boys club, while he is seen as unifying by citing civil rights confrontations. This is this rhetoric. But then she goes on. What worries me is that some women, perhaps especially younger ones, hope to deny or escape the sexual caste system. Thus, Iowa women over 50 and 60 who disproportionately supported Senator Clinton prove once again that women are the one group that grows radical, more radical with age. More radical in America? And clearly she's talking about white women. What does it mean to become more radical when you're just voting for a Democrat? This is just rhetoric. She's spewing rhetoric. But it's all ways of getting people to bicker about how their little particular group can serve master, which is built around a racial, hierarchical, economic, class structure. A capital, privatized structure that is reaping hell on planet Earth. But for her, she wants to ignore that and just wants her type, quote unquote, to serve at the helm. That's what it all comes down to. Just like the Negro professional class, only concerned about their personal ascendancy to positions of authority in serving master. It's not about the moral equation of what this represents. So you end up having a situation where, in essence, voting becomes the ultimate spectator sport. It's kind of like betting on the Kentucky Derby. You don't feed the horses. You don't train the horses. You don't buy or own the horses. You don't even decide what horses race. You just place a bet, a vote, at best, on the horses and watch. The playing field is set up by someone else. The main benefactors of the winners of the horse race is someone else. Basically, the people who really own the horses. It's basically the people who own the horse track. It's the media that broadcasts the horse racing event. At best, you're just a helpless spectator, a fool who helps give legitimacy and an artificial excitement to the horse racing event. An event, no matter how fast the horse runs, no matter how many horse runs, no matter how elegant the horse runs, no matter how much stamina these horses have, they all end up circling the same track, and they all end up in the same place as the other horses. Just like the script is set out for them to do. And where do they end up? Right in their trainer's hands. Right in their owner's hands. Just like they're supposed to. And just to make sure that these horses stay on course, stay on track, they all have a little jockey, a handler, an advisor sitting on top of their backs with a stick, keeping them on the straight and narrow. In many ways, the four-legged horses of the Kentucky Derby are more honest, because those horses don't even look into the stands. They don't even pretend that they're running for the spectators. It's clear that they're running for their handlers, like they're trained to do, that they're running for their owners. They're running for the people who really feed them. Also, in the real world of horses, the four-legged ones, they're clearly more intelligent, because the four-legged horses the world over know that regardless of the fact of a black horse winning the Kentucky Derby, or a white horse, or a brown horse, or a female horse, it doesn't change their overall condition as horses. Because they know that these Kentucky Derby horses are not running for their interest. It's just quite unfortunate that the folks at the two-legged horse race who vote Democrat and Republican don't have that kind of understanding, or don't wish to have that kind of understanding. Just in a constant state of denial, perpetuating more lies, on top of one another, making it clear that hypocrisy is America's middle name. Hold on a sec. Remember, don't be a humanitarian imperialist like Oprah or a Negro progressive imperialist like Dyson or an imperial feminist like Steinem or a non-violent imperialist like Jackson. Don't be a hypocrite, a fool, or complicit in the imperial order. walking forward, moving forward on a sinking ship is not progress. Be a slave. A slave in revolt. Until next week, slave out.